Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Today in Southern Cross, I am speaking to AUT Pacific Media Centre's reporter, Rahul Butterai, as usual, and we have postgraduate journalism student Maxine Jacobs in studio today. We are talking about the centre's news stories and issues being covered on Asia Pacific Report. Topics today are including organ harvesting and the crackdown on Falun Dong community by the Chinese Communist Party. The government in Nauru has dismissed the Doctors Without Borders mental health workers at their detention camps, and social justice advocates are calling for more action and less talk in regards to Jacinda Ardern's speech about climate change at the last UN General Assembly. So, to start off with, Rahul, last week there was a seminar being held at the University of Auckland's Law School, and the topic was the Chinese Communist Party's threat to the liberal democracy. Where were the speakers at the seminar from?
So basically there were a couple of people from Auckland. Dr. Stephen Noakes, who is a senior lecturer in politics and international relations and Asian studies at University of Auckland. Mm-hmm. He was there. He spoke about challenges posed by the Chinese Communist Party's foreign policy agenda to democratic institutions like New Zealand and so forth. We also had Professor David Matas. He came from Canada, and he was actually the guest speaker there as well, and he is the senior legal counsel for Barnai Birth Canada. That is the oldest Jewish service organization in the world.
Mm.
And he also served as a law clerk to the Chief Justice of Canada in 1968 to 1969. And Mr. Barry Wilson, who is a lawyer, he was there present as well. He's a lawyer and a president of Auckland Council for Civil Liberties.
So is China really utilising its soft power to crack down on the Falun Dong community globally?
With what has been told and what I've known, I think they are. But like, for example, when Lawyer Wilson said that he has spent enormous amount of time trying to get the Falun Dong exhibition up in city, but Auckland Council has denied. Now I quote that, this is what he said: "We were up against very strong lobbying from a Chinese consulate and the Chinese embassy, which did not want that exhibition there." That's what he said. And also, last time, a few months ago, when Doris Liu, who made a film in the name of Confucius, came to Auckland, that was a critic of Chinese Communist Party and who exposed a lot of things that was happening to the people of Falun Dong community. Auckland University cancelled the event at the last minute. Now, we don't know why they cancelled it, but it's very doubtful that they cancelled it. Auckland University of Technology, AUT, went through with the program, but Auckland Uni cancelled it. Now, I don't know why, so, you know, it's very suspicious.
Could you just give us more sort of a brief rundown on what sort of the discussion was about, like what they were talking about, more than just, I suppose, the threat, like what is the threat?
The overall arching discussion that we had there was a few things. First, they were very concerned about organ harvesting in China by the government of the Falun Dong community, and also a sort of soft power that China has been using in different parts of the world. So those were the overarching, and also what we could do in order to not be heavily sort of affected by Chinese foreign policy and lobbying.
Mm-hmm. So why would they harvest the organs of people without their consent, as it has been alleged?
Yeah, it's look, I'm not too sure why they would do it, but the official stance that Chinese government took was it has all been donated. And as far as, Professor David Matas was concerned, he said that Chinese had been doing harvesting organs for quite some time now, and they were harvesting the organs at the time when they did not even have the facility to receive the organ donations or to, you know, transplant to someone else's body. All the organs they found in China were found locally, but they did not have the system as such. But Professor Matas did say that it was being harvested.
So the Nauruan Nauruan government has dismissed the Doctors Without Borders mental health carers from treating the refugees in Nauru's detention centres, and the experts say this is going to be typically tough on the children. Why would the government make such a harsh move by denying treatment to the children?
Well, I'm not too sure why they would do that, but I think from my understanding and what critics say is that is Doctors Without Borders, they tend to go there and they have actually criticized the government for the harsh living conditions of the refugees as a whole, not just children or women, but everybody involved in the refugee camps or centers, whatever that's called. And yeah, because they tend to criticize, it does not look very good on the Nauru government. Maybe that is why they have sort of dismissed. And not only Doctors Without Borders, but they have also not allowed NGOs to work in there. However, they have said that there are other Nauruan doctors who are still available for treatment and so forth, but foreign organizations, independent non-government organizations aren't allowed inside.
What was the official response of the Nauruan government? Have they said something specifically as to why they don't want people coming in and helping with their care?
Well, look, the Department of Home Affairs said on Saturday that MSF, which is Doctors Without Borders, dismissal was a matter for the Nauruan government and that it would continue to provide, I quote, appropriate health care and mental health support to refugees and asylum seekers through contracted service providers. So actually, Nauruan government has not given a very solid explanation as to why they sort of did not want them in the country.
Mm. So, Maxine, Prime Minister came back after attending the UN General Assembly late last month, which was a success by many measures. Yet there are some advocates who say that the Prime Minister isn't taking enough action on climate change. Could you tell us more about what they mean when the social justice advocates say they would like to see the rhetoric matched by an even stronger action?
So New Zealand's done a lot towards combating climate change, especially in recent months, with the halt of offshore oil and gas exploration permits. Zero emissions by 2050 is a goal. 100% renewable energy by 2035 is also a goal, so they're really good steps. But Dr. Kevin Clements, a political scientist from Otago, said that the Prime Minister needs to couple some hard-hitting arguments and real evidence with her personal appeal and charisma just to support the climate change debate and lead the rest of the world if we're going to be strong negotiators on this issue. So that's where the critics would come in.
Hasn't New Zealand contributed enough to do its part to combat climate change, considering maybe we're a small country, people might say?
Yeah, so we have done a lot already, nationally and internationally, namely the Global Climate Change Fund. 20 million has been up to 30 million over the next 4 years, which is a good step in developing the climate change initiatives needed, especially the most risk nations, particularly in the Pacific. But we must continue to be a model, especially in terms of our previous efforts with the anti-nuclear policy. If we're going to show the other nations that they can jump on board, we need to really push that and show that it is possible to bring emissions down. And because it's a global issue, it really needs a global response.
Mm. Do you know whether the advocates have actually said anything about what exactly that even stronger action is or should be, or is it just that there needs to be something happening?
I think it's pretty hard because we are such a small state.
Mm.
New Zealand just has a lot of soft power that we can throw around. And so it's not like we can run in like the US probably could and just ask everybody to start doing things our way.
Yeah.
So it's more of the more that we exist in this debate and continue the discussions and use our multilateralism instead of our brute force the way other nations can, that's how we'll get the larger nations to jump on board. So there's not really any clear way of how we're going to deal with it, but this is really the best that we've got.
That's the aim. Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
And also, all the...
That was the Southern Cross.